Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, April the 15th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us your love and your affection, and continue to show us the events that are taking place around us, and the relevance of those events to our lives. Today we come thanking you for all that you have done, and asking that you would continue to prepare us for the time to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today I'd like to read you a letter that was written by Ellen G. White to Stephen Haskell. Their letter was written back in the year 1894. Actually, it's dated August the 13th, 1894. And she was located in Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, in Australia at the time. And it's relevant because of some of the things that they were going through at that time, as they relate to some of the things that we are going through in our day. Now remember, Ellen White died in the year 1915, so she was quite in advanced years at this time. Her birthday, November the 26th, 1827, that you can do the math on that. So the letter was written on August the 13th, 1894, as I said, and it was addressed to Stephen Haskell. Here's a letter. Let's see how far we can get here on this letter. Dear brother, we are in the midst of stirring times just now. Brother Shannon, who lives in Sydney, has been arrested and prosecuted for working on Sunday. He owns houses and builds houses. He is a stonemason, and in and out of the way places was stirring up some mortar in a quiet way that could offend no one on Sunday, July the 29th. It seemed that spies were watching him, and he was reported to the officers and arrested on that day. A fine was imposed in accordance with the laws made by Charles II, and it was required that he either pay the fine or submit to confinement for 2 hours in the stocks. Elder McCullen and several other brethren were present at the trial. My secretary, Senior Emily Campbell, was also present to take shorthand notes of the proceedings. If I can get the reports from the secular papers, I will send them to you. The authorities of Sydney find that they have an elephant in their hands, and they are at a loss to know what to do in this affair. They do not covet the record that it would give them in carrying out a punishment invented under the profligate rule of Charles II. Brother Shannon refuses to pay the fine, and as all his property is in his wife's name, the authorities can find nothing on which to levy to pay the fine. The papers are publishing the matter extensively and are expressing their indignation at such legal transactions in no soft style. All right. Now let's continue to take a look at this. We think that now is the time to take advantage of the circumstances and proclaim the truth to the people. Magistrates, lawyers, and men in high position are anxious to know something of the Seventh-day Adventists. They desire to be enlightened to our views and principles. Brother McCullough is the only man on the ground at present to do anything. Last Thursday, he was in conversation with the magistrate and the officers in the courtroom, and one of the officers coming out made the remark that if that man kept on talking, he would convert them all. Yesterday, Brother McCullough was visiting the prominent men in Sydney, and he laid the case before them in a true light, showing them that the prosecution was nothing short of religious persecution. He represented it to them as a repetition of the spirit and actions of the Dark Ages, when religious intolerance was triumphant, when dissenters from the popular faith were robbed of their goods and tortured for their religious principles. Just now, there is a wonderful stir in Sydney. The prosecution has awakened an intense interest. The authorities are collecting the statements that were made in regard to the persecution of the Firth brothers in Parramatta. And they say that they will present these things at the next parliament and work for the repeal of that miserable old law. They are much perplexed to know what to do in regard to carrying out the sentence concerning Brother Shannon's case, that of collecting his fine or placing him for 2 hours in the stocks. I think they will probably not carry out the sentence. We are expecting some brethren from Melbourne every day. In response to an urgent call, Brother Corliss went to Tasmania to labor. Willie was called to Melbourne to attend important meetings there, and he has now been away 3 weeks. We all feel that either Elder Corliss, Corlord, or Daniels should be there to make as much as possible out of the interest created by this prosecution. We are expecting that someone will arrive today, and we'll be disappointed if no one comes. Elder Wilson came from New Zealand over some days ago, accompanied by Brother Teasdale, and tarried in Sydney for a few days, and then visited the school grounds at Dora Creek with Brother Teasdale. Both of them were very pleased with the location. Both of them then went to Melbourne. I will enclose a letter that was written to me by Willie. More than 100 have embraced the truth in Melbourne and its suburbs. The work is still advancing in Victoria. The Echo office seems to be in a healthful condition now, but as the times are very hard, they do not yet really meet expenses. They are now setting into operation plans by which they may stand on vantage ground. It is early morning, and Emily has just come in and has informed me that last night she went about 2 miles to visit Brother McCullough to see what could be done about getting help for holding meetings in Sydney. The brethren are trying to get a hall. Someone should be on the ground just now. Brother McCullough reports that there is a wonderful excitement created over this case. Now remember, they arrested this man for working on Sunday, but now that whole event that has been happening has caused quite an uproar, and now they have an opportunity to spread the truth. Now, I want to share this with you because I want you to understand that when the persecutions begin, we will then have an opportunity to be brought to the witnesses of those who know very little about the truth. Continuing. The facts of the case were placed before the governor, and he has sent in his decision to go no further with this case. What turn matters will take, it is impossible for us to determine. We're waiting for the developments to occur. There are souls embracing the truth between Castle and Pennant Hills. Brother McCullough has just visited the school teachers who lived at Pennant Hills. For weeks he has been reading books that have been furnished him by Brother and Sister Goodman. He is deeply interested in great controversy and says that he never has read such a book. He wants Mrs. White to come to Pennant Hills and hold meetings in his house, and he will ensure her a congregation. Another man who keeps a store has a large room above his store, which he has offered to hold meetings in. At the time it was offered, there was no one who could accept the invitation, but we think that there should be no longer any delay. The Lord is at work. His Holy Spirit is striving with hearts, and there is such a scarcity of laborers that we cannot respond to the calls. Two very nice persons have recently taken their stand upon the truth. Two Sabbaths ago, he closed up his shop, and said that no more work should be done on the seventh day Sabbath at his place. Before Elder Corliss left for Tasmania, he had meetings at his house in the early hours of the morning for the benefit of the church, and this brother rode down to his place to obtain instruction from the Bible, for Elder Corliss was giving Bible readings. 20 precious souls have accepted the truth at Seven Hills. Adults and children number 40 who assemble on the Sabbath day for Sabbath school and meeting. They are now building a neat little church. Oh, how thankful I feel that I had some means with which to help them in this enterprise, for every one of them is very poor. I first pledged £5, thinking I could do no more on account of the various calls that were made for money to advance the work. But when I found that the small sum of $300 could not be raised, I doubled my subscription. Still, the money could not be raised to the required sum, and I again doubled my subscription. which made my donation 20 pounds. But they were unable even then to meet the amount, and I gave 5 pounds more. The building is now well along, and all are of good courage. How thankful I am for the goodness of God, because that in His great mercy and love, He has made me a steward of means, so that I can do something to advance the work in its different lines. We are grateful to God that even one soul is interested and is found taking his position upon the platform of eternal truth. In all heaven rejoices that one soul is saved. What rejoicing must there be in heaven that 20 souls in one region have decided to obey the truth? This means the salvation not only of themselves, but of their children, the consecration of entire households to God. Canwright's book has been sent in through all this country, but better it be sent in here while I am on the ground than after I am away or than before I came. Some have been confused by his statements, but their confusion has lasted but a little while, and then the dark atmosphere of Satan's creating has been dispersed, and the experience they gained because of the trial was of a character to settle, strengthen, and confirm their faith rather than to be moved away from the solid rock of foundation. And of course, you remember Canwright writing a book that was inaccurate in every detail. Continuing. On every hand, we see opportunities for using our means. Poverty and distress are everywhere. I will not see the people suffer for the want of food and clothing so long as the Lord gives me something to do with. I will dispense to the poor. Now comes the paragraph that I really wanted you to hear today in this letter, as you notice that the majority of this goes back to the persecution of that man who was working on the Sunday and was prosecuted because of it. And because of his persecution, the truth began to be spread because people were curious about why he would be working on Sunday. Now here's the paragraph that I want to bring to your attention. Throughout New South Wales, we have been tested and tried with the influenza epidemic. Nearly every family has been afflicted in the cities and county towns. Some are now very, very sick. Their lives are hanging in the balance. We pray for the sick and do what we can financially and then wait the result. When patients are under the doctor's care, we can do little by way of treatment, for should the case prove unfavorable, we should be charged with taking a life. So they had problems with the medical ministry back then too. Continuing. One day last week, there were 11 funerals. Those who eat meat do not recover from the attack as readily as those who do not eat meat. Children do not seem to suffer so much as the adults and the aged. I have been severely attacked and have not been able to attend meetings for 4 weeks, but have not given up to take my bed one day. I have written my number of pages nearly every day, though I have been coughing and sneezing and bleeding at the nose. Brother Rousseau has been sick, and for some weeks Brother Collard has been confined to his bed. Now we're talking about 1894, and we're talking about an epidemic here that is taking place during the time of some persecutions that have begun with Sabbath keeping. It's really an interesting connection between that experience and the introduction of the coronavirus COVID-19 in the year 2020. Remember, I'm reading that letter that was written to Stephen Haskell, dated August the 13th, 1894, by Ellen White, written to him concerning some of the things that were happening in Australia. And if you would permit me to just repeat that paragraph that I read just now with regard to the epidemic. Listen to this again. Throughout New South Wales, we have been tested and tried with the influenza epidemic. Nearly every family has been afflicted in the cities and country towns. Some are now very, very sick. Their lives are hanging in the balance. We pray for the sick and do what we can financially and then wait the result. When patients are under the doctor's care, we can do little by way of treatment. For should the case prove unfavorable, we should be charged with taking life. One day last week, there were 11 funerals. Those who eat meat do not recover from the attack as easily as those who do not eat meat. Children do not seem to suffer so much as the adults and the aged. I have been severely attacked and have not been able to attend meetings for 4 weeks, but I have not given up to take to my bed one day. I have written my number of pages nearly every day, though I have been coughing and sneezing and bleeding at the nose. Brother Rousseau has been sick, and for some weeks Brother Collor has been confined to his bed. So you notice that back then, 1894, they were having some issues. New South Wales, Australia. She calls it the influenza epidemic. It seemed rather serious because one day, there were 11 funerals, and she was also involved in being ill. I have been severely attacked and have not been able to attend meetings for 4 weeks, but I have not given up to take to my bed one day. I have written my number of pages nearly every day, though I have been coughing and sneezing and bleeding at the nose. Brother Rousseau has been sick also, and for some weeks Brother Collard has been confined to his bed. Continuing. Nearly everyone around has suffered, but I thank the Lord I am improving, and I'm of good courage in the Lord. We shall do all we can in the name of the Lord. I am full of thankfulness to the Lord that I do not have to look on helplessly and groan and pray in seeing my brethren and sisters in distress for want of food and clothing. I do not need to say simple, be ye warmed and be ye clothed, and yet do nothing to relieve them. I have experienced the truth of God's word. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God's people are being tried and tested, and may God grant that I may be able to help them through the trial they have to endure for the truth's sake, and by so doing, be able to cling to Jesus more firmly than ever. Now that's powerful. And as I said before, that's the letter that she wrote to Stephen Haskell. The letter is dated August the 13th, 1894. Now remember how that letter started out, however, as we focused in on the epidemic, the influenza epidemic. But notice how she starts the letter. Let's go back and take a look at that again. We are in the midst of stirring times just now. Brother Shannon, who lives in Sydney, has been arrested and prosecuted for working on Sunday. He owns houses and builds houses, and he is a mason. You know, he works with stone. And in an out of the way place, he was stirring up some mortar in a quiet way that could offend no one. He was doing this on July the 29th, a Sunday. It seems that spies were watching him, and he was reported to the officers and arrested. Remember what Matthew chapter 24 says? Betraying one another, delivered up to the authorities, betraying one another. He owns houses and builds houses. And he was in an out-of-the-way place, meaning away from the public, was stirring up some mortar in a quiet way that could offend no one on Sunday, July the 29th. It seems that spies were watching him, and he was reported to the officers and arrested. A fine was imposed in accordance with the law made by Charles II, and it was required that he either pay the fine or submit to confinement for 2 hours in the stocks. Again, let me tell you that we're talking about August the 13th, 1894. At the same time all of this is taking place, she makes a reference to an influenza epidemic. Nearly every family has been afflicted in the cities and country towns. Some are now very, very sick, and their lives are hanging in the balance. Notice the combination between these two things in this letter back in 1894. Combination of persecution, arresting for making some mortar on the Sunday. But notice that in the background you see the influence of Satan's hand as the influenza epidemic moves. And notice that the children of God are not excluded from that. Notice, she says, I have been severely attacked and have not been able to attend meetings for 4 weeks. But I have not given up to take to my bed one day, she says. I have written my number of pages nearly every day. Though I have been coughing and sneezing and bleeding at the nose. You and I need to understand something very important. You and I need to get to the place in our lives where we recognize that the time of trouble is being patterned right here in front of us. We need to be ready for the time to come when we will face exactly the same kinds of combination of persecution on one hand, the passing of Sunday laws, and on the other hand, we will have to face the issues of Satan's hand moving around. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us examples of what will come. We thank you that we can depend on you to protect us. We ask that you would fill us with the truth so that we might stand with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, April the 15th, 2020.